This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Financial jitters with a major new election in Europe suddenly on the way.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. After a vote in the Greek parliament did not go the government's way just now, Greece will hold an unexpected general election on January 25th. Polls suggest this could bring to power the left-wing party Syriza, and that has the attention of financial markets. The key index on the Greek stock exchange is down 7.7% now. The BBC's Lucy Williamson is in Athens. Good morning.
Good morning.
So a sudden election for Greece is on the way. Why would this disturb financial markets? I was just looking at the Athens stock market just now, and it is down.
Markets are nervous, really, because of the kind of policies Syriza says it will pursue should it get into power. And let's not forget, it is leading the opinion polls at the moment. It said it wants to renegotiate Greece's debt. It wants to cut the debt. It also wants to make sure that repayments come out of growth, not out of cuts. And these are policies that are quite popular with a lot of Greeks who are very sick of the austerity being imposed on them by Brussels, as they see it. But it's going to be unnerving for those in Brussels who are watching the situation here and don't want these kind of anti-austerity ideas to spread throughout Europe.
Now, we see some analysts talking about this election, and if the left-wing party comes to power, could lead to Greece's ultimate exit from the European Union. You think talk like that is a bit overdone?
I think it depends who you speak to. There are those who feel that there is some scaremongering going on here. But there is no doubt that if Syriza gets into power and starts implementing the policies it says it will implement, it's going to put Brussels in an awkward position. If Brussels decides to play hardball with Greece and says we're not going to renegotiate, the stakes in that sort of conversation could rise fairly quickly.
On the line with us from the capital of Greece, Athens, the BBC's Lucy Williamson. Lucy, thank you.
Thanks.
Did 2014 become a kind of tipping point for computer hacking? With the spectacular theft of information and intellectual property from the computers of Sony Pictures on the heels of the data breaches at big U.S. retailers, what can the government do? Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
This year's big cyber attack targets read like a who's who of corporate America: Home Depot, Apple, JPMorgan Chase, and of course, Sony Pictures. There is one overarching problem behind all this.
The bad guys are already not just several steps ahead of us, they're almost half the race course ahead of us.
That's Mark Rogers, an online security expert with Cloudflare. He says hacking used to be harder, but today, all you need is the know-how to get into one of the shadier corners of the internet where you can just buy a piece of malware, ready-made to wreak havoc. Even so, many of those companies weren't following the best practices for cybersecurity. Brian Ford, a Yale computer science professor, says what the government can do to help is invest in developing more secure, open computer systems for all, not just secret systems for the military.
It's becoming more clear than ever that that security is worth the cost of higher software development effort and higher system maintenance and management effort.
But at the same time, that will only help if the private sector takes the invisible threats of cyberspace much more seriously. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Now let's check markets. The 100-share index in London is up by a single point, perhaps because the vote in Greece could cause ripple effects across the eurozone. The DAX index in Frankfurt, Germany is down 0.9% now. The key stock index in Shanghai went up 1.8% today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. As you must know by now, about a dozen states have recently passed laws governing the growing of hemp as an industrial crop. The most recent farm bill plowed the way for a variety of cannabis to return to American fields. Hemp from the fibrous stalk of the plant doesn't have the high levels of psychoactive ingredient found in the flowers. As WPLN's Blake Farmer reports from Nashville, many farmers are excited about reviving this old cash crop, but not necessarily about following the rules required.
Prospective hemp farmers tend to have an independent streak.
We are for raising this industrial hemp. Every man under his own fig tree, the Bible said. And we are for being left alone that we might be able to market our products.
June Griffin, wearing a homemade hat and cardigan, hopped to the front of the line to speak at a recent hearing to give feedback on Tennessee's new rules for hemp. They include a minimum $250 annual permit and providing authorities GPS coordinates of each field. Linda Albright, who owns a farm south of Nashville, says it sounds like a huge overkill.
We've been growing tobacco and corn and soy and all this for years and years. We've never had to apply for a license to grow it. We've never had to tell them what we're going to do with it, where it's going to be distributed.
While hemp is harmless, the plant happens to look exactly like marijuana. The primary difference separating the two is the level of THC, the active chemical that makes pot a drug that's still illegal in most states. Tennessee's regulations would allow inspectors to enter fields at any time for any reason, and the farmer would have to pick up the $35 an hour tab. Growers would even have to notify authorities 2 days ahead of transporting their crop. But Harold Jarbo says he doesn't mind.
Because if I'm hauling 50 pounds of hemp tops up to the juice company to be juiced and I get pulled over, I can't have my crop confiscated while they figure out whether it's legal or not.
Jarbo says at his farm, there will be a cup of coffee waiting for any law enforcement agent who wants to stop by. To him, it's worth the headache. Why? Yes, there are those who think so highly of hemp, they write jingles about it. An eco-friendly product that can be turned into fabric, food, even fuel. It just happens to look a lot like weed. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And the tech publication The Verge says they're calling the following startup, "Can I stay with you while I rent my place on Airbnb?" You got that? There's some short-term renter at your place, so where are you going to stay? That business model is like what? A car rental service if your partner has the car tied up working for Lyft or Uber? Or a convenience store catering to people waiting for their online seamless lunch order to arrive? You can do better with the comparisons. Airbnb for Airbnbers is like, fill in the blank, tweet us at Marketplace with your suggestions. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.